As a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? I mean, think about that for a minute. I mean, all of us wanted to be something. What did you want to be? How many of you wanted to be a fireman, a policeman, maybe an astronaut or a professional athlete? Okay. How many of you wanted to be a doctor or nurse? Boy, no medical people here at all. Really? Okay. But these are some of the most common professions that kids wanted to become. Well, did you know that God wanted you to become something very special? Romans 8. We've been there. We've gone through Romans 8, 28. Remember that? We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. We've been living in that verse throughout these last messages, but now we move to the next verse. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Why don't you pull out your outline, and let's look at your third calling in life. It's to become like Christ. It's to become like Christ. I mean, think about that. Wow. I mean, that's pretty awesome, and yet at the same time, okay, a bit intimidating. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible teaches that Jesus is God. So does this mean that you're supposed to become a God? No. But it does mean that God is calling you to become godly. In other words, God wants you to take on characteristics of his family, like father, like son, like Jesus, like his brothers and sisters. And the Bible gives us a clear description of Jesus' characteristics, very familiar passage, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. But let's read this together, shall we? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, anybody got all these characteristics just down pat? You're good to go. Anybody still working on them? Yeah. Still working on them. The truth is, this side of heaven, we're never going to be perfect or become totally like Jesus. Becoming like Jesus is a process. And that's why the Bible compares becoming like Jesus to running a race. And that race is not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. And you're running that race right now. Your goal in life is to become the man that God wants you to be. Your goal in life is to become the woman God wants you to be. This is your third calling in life, to become like Christ. So let's take a look at what the Bible says as we learn the steps that will help us to successfully complete the marathon to maturity. First step, number one, in becoming more like Jesus, simplify your life. Simplify your life. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back. Notice that word anything. Circle that. That word in Greek is the word oikos, which means a weight, a burden, something heavy that's holding you back. Let's strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. You see, if you want to become more like Jesus, you have to simplify your life. You're running a race. I think most of us in the church, like in the evangelical church, we understand when this verse talks about sin and how sin can trip us up, because we've talked about that or heard about that a good part of our lives. And so it should be. We talk about temptation. We talk about sin. Stay clear. We're usually well aware of those issues. But where we're often oblivious, where we're ignorant, is when it comes to the good things of life that weigh us down. And the truth is that we aren't able to focus on Jesus because we have too many other things going on in our lives. We try to do it all. We try to have it all. But you don't run a marathon with 9 layers of clothes on. At least you don't run well. You can't become more like Jesus if you keep adding more and more stuff in your life so you don't have time for the Savior in your life. Simplify your life. And Hebrews 12 says, the particular race. God has a particular race for your life that only you can run. So you've got to decide whose race you're going to run in your life. The race that you want to run? The race that somebody else wants you to run? Or the race that God created you to run? You don't have the time or the energy to run all three. You just can't do it. So the starting point in your race to become more like Jesus is to simplify your life, declutter. Step 2, pace yourself. Pace yourself. Bible says, let's run with patience the particular race that God set before us. You see, this race is going to take your entire life. You're not going to finish it in a week or a month or even next year. See, God's plan to make you the person that he wants you to be is a lifetime plan. It's a marathon. So you have to pace yourself. I remember when I was growing up as a kid, and maybe it was as we would go out to recess, or maybe it was going out for Phi Ed. I didn't like those long races. Give me a sprint any day, right? 50-yard dash, 100-yard dash. No, I don't like the 600-yard run, the mile, the 4-4, whatever it was. Just didn't like it. You see, the problem, we like sprints because sprints get it over with. But the problem with sprints is they are only meant for short distances, not the long haul. For the long-distance race of life, you have to pace yourself. Well, the same goes with your walk with God. When you become a Christian, you start growing really fast. You're excited. Something has happened in your life, and you just want to go for it. You want to go for it, and that's great. That's a great desire. But you have to realize this. It's like babies in the early months. They'll double in size the first year. But then growth slows down, and that's a very good thing. When it comes to your spiritual growth, you need to understand something. God is not in a hurry. You are, but he's not. When God wants to take a mushroom, he takes 6 hours. When God wants to make an oak tree, he takes 60 years. So what do you want to be? A fungus or an oak tree? Personally, I'd like to be an oak tree. I want my life to be deeply rooted. I want to be strong and stable so when the storms of life hit, and you know as well as I do, those storms hit, and they come when you're least expecting them. It's the problems, it's the pressures, it's the suffering, it's the sorrow, the grief, the loss. And when they happen, I want to be in a place where those roots go deep so I'm not going to be blown over. How about you? See, there's a lot of spiritual growth programs out there that can teach you how to become a man or a woman of God. The problem is they can't teach you how to do it quickly. And that's the problem, isn't it? You see, for most of us, we want a quick fix. We want one thing that's going to take away all of our problems, all of our hang-ups, all of our fears now, instantly. So we go around looking for that one book to read. If you just read this book, boy, your life is, you're right where you need to be. It's that one conference to attend. It's that one message to listen to that's going to change your lives. We want to take a pill, find a magic bullet, have an experience, and boom, all of a sudden, you are like Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? Sorry, but it just doesn't happen that way. You see, there are instant mashed potatoes. We even have Instapots these days. There's instant coffee. I love Keurig. Great. But there's no instant spiritual maturity. It takes time. It said, let us run the race of life with patience. There's a third step in the marathon to maturity. It says, keep focused on the goal. Keep focused on the goal. Hebrews 12:2. We do this, that's run the race of life, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. You see, you can't become like Jesus unless you spend time focused on Jesus, unless you spend time with Jesus. I'm not talking about hours and hours and hours of time, but it is important to spend some time with Jesus every day. Maybe this means you start where you are, and so you move to 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 15 minutes. Well, why is this so important? Well, you become like whoever you spend most of your time with. If you want to become like Jesus, you need to focus some time and some energy on him, thinking about him, talking to him. So let me ask you, who are you hanging out with? Who are you hanging out with? If you hang out with people who have no ambition, you're going to have no ambition. If you're hanging out with people who are critical and negative, you're going to become critical and negative. If you hang out with people who are not in love with Jesus, soon you're not going to be in love with Jesus. Whoever you spend the most time with is the person that you're going to become. The fact is, if you spend time with Jesus, you will become more and more like him. We call this a quiet time. Now, you can do this in the morning, you can do it in the evening, or any place in between, but just make sure you do it. You read the Bible or maybe a favorite devotional book, then you talk to God about what's on your heart, what you're concerned about, what you're stressed about, what you're looking forward to. And basically you're saying, God, I need your help. I know there was a song we sang, I don't 3 weeks ago, something like that. But one of the lines in one of the songs, it said, I need you, Jesus. And we kind of repeated that. My wife had been doing that, and I've been doing that lately. We've been busy, but we've realized we have been too busy. And we started taking some of those extra moments in the day where we got up a little earlier, and we got into the Word, and we basically are saying, we need you, Jesus. And this is where we need you, because this is what's happening today. And you know what? It's amazing. God actually answers prayer. You know that? He does. But we need to ask, and we need to ask specifically. I mean, think about this. Think about Jesus. What did he do? Jesus liked to go to a special place and talk to the Father. In Luke 22, he says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives to pray. Love that phrase, went out as usual. See, that was his habit. That was part of his everyday schedule. He liked to go. He needed time with his Father. And I'm thinking, maybe you can track with me, if the Son of God needs time with God the Father, what about you and me? We need time with God? Oh, wow, big time. If Jesus needed time with the Father, yeah, I need time with the Father too. We need to choose a special place where we meet God every day. This is nothing weird. This is just sitting down there and trusting that God is there. That same God, when we invite him into our hearts, he meets with us. And the more time you spend with God, the more you become like him. The more time you spend reading the Bible and focusing on Jesus, the more you're going to become like him. Loving, patient, peaceful, a person of integrity. Or you can try the old-fashioned method where you take the fruit of the Spirit and you go through one at a time and say, doggone it, I'm going to lift myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to be this first, and Anybody try that? It doesn't work very well. See, it doesn't work well. We can't pull it off. I can't. Only Jesus can, as we spend time with him and we start to become like him. Step number 4 in the marathon to maturity, remember the reward. The reward. This is positive. Don't you love that? The Bible says, he, Jesus, did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he's now seated at the right side of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinful men. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. See, when life gets hard, you need to remember the reward. I mean, were there times when Jesus was lonely? What do you think? Yeah. Were there times when he was criticized? Absolutely. Were there times when he was betrayed? Okay. Were there times when Jesus was fatigued and yet he had to keep going? Yeah. Were there times when he was misunderstood? Yeah. And if God did not spare his own son from those things, why do you think he would spare us? He won't. So the next time you start to ask, why is this happening to me? You need to realize that God is in the process of building your character. God wants to use that difficulty to make you more like Christ. So instead of asking why, let's ask a different question. What? What? God, what do you want me to learn from this situation? The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. The Bible says Jesus was made complete through suffering. You and me, we're going to learn the same way. Here's a great promise, 1 Peter. After you suffer for a short time, God, who gives all grace, will make everything right. He will make you strong and support you and keep you from falling. He called you to share in his glory, in Christ, a glory that will continue forever. Did you get that? All of our short-term problems here on earth are going to be traded in for long-term glory in heaven. You need to understand that God does not promise an easy life here on earth. He does promise reward in heaven for the things that you learn from your trials here. I mean, can we be honest here? Life can be hard, can't it? It can be very hard. Shootings and hurricanes and cancer and broken relationships. You can come up with your list. And maybe you're living in your list right now, and there's one of them that's really got your attention. And it's hard. Let's be honest about that. Why? Because this isn't heaven. It's earth. And while we thank God for all the blessings we have in this life, we also realize that everything on this planet, including you and me, we're broken. We are broken. We have to struggle for everything in life, and that's intentional. We are learning through the school of character development. And God is much more interested in our character than our comfort. And I don't know about you, but my problem sometimes is I'm much more interested in my comfort. Aren't we? Oh, God, give me comfort here. Give me something really good that I can hang on to. And God does. He blesses us so much. But he's much more interested in our character than our comfort, because that's the only thing we will take with us to heaven. It's the only thing we'll take with us to heaven. Remember that when life gets really hard, you have an eternal reward coming. Hang on to that. And sometimes you're going to really have to hang on. The fifth step in the marathon to maturity, gather a team to run with you. Gather a team to run with you. Let's read this together. Hebrews 10. This is really a good passage. Ready? let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another as you see the day approaching. See, for you to want to become more like Jesus, I think that's great. I really do. It's awesome. But it's not going to be easy. You will be running uphill and into the wind all the way. At least some days, sure feels that way. I know a few years ago, my wife and I decided, okay, how can we be active, maybe get a little better shape in something that we just might enjoy, if that's possible? And so we came up with this idea, well, let's try biking. That would be cool. So we got our brand new bike, and I used my son's old bike, and then I got myself a new bike. We got a great bike trail by Wilmer. And so we loved it. Man, we got on the bike trail, and we can debrief, and we're riding down the trail together. It's paved, you know. And we just loved it when the sky was blue, the winds were light, and maybe we'd go out 3, 4, 5 miles, something like that. And then we'd turn around, and we'd come back. And we thought, where'd that wind come from? Where'd that headwind come from? And it's a lot stronger than I thought it was. And all of a sudden, this bike trip's not as fun as it was before. See, that was the time when it's sure good to have somebody else biking with you. We can make this, where are we? Mile number 3. Okay, let's go. We can do this if we do it together. Same thing goes with the race of life. When life gets tough, you're going to need different people to run alongside you at different stages of life, helping you, encouraging you, supporting you, praying for you. And if you don't have anybody running with you, you're not going to make it to the end of the race. You're just not. You're going to be discouraged and you're going to give up. There's an old African proverb. It says, to run fast, run by yourself. But to run far, run with other people. Every one of us knows people who started off great with the Lord. But where are they now? They're nowhere to be found. They were so enthusiastic. They were so genuine about their faith. They had so much potential. But today, they've been sidelined by sin, by the cares of life. They aren't even going to church anymore. They don't even say they believe in God anymore. They're wasting their life. Why? They didn't have anybody running with them. You see, you need a small group of supporters. And this isn't just an infomercial for life groups, but maybe some of you jumped into life groups for the first time. Maybe you should just keep those groups going. Not so much in studying the material, but just helping each other and running the race. You see, when you feel like giving up, you keep going. They help you keep going. They keep you going through the fears of life and the disappointments of life, the tragedies, the temptations, all the way to the finish line. You need to gather a team to run with you. And when you're running the marathon to maturity, number 6, never forget that God is cheering you on. God is cheering you on. Bible says, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. You see, God knows something, and I don't think this is a news flash, at least I hope not. He knows that we are weak and we need his power. I mean, he's not surprised. He's not surprised by our imperfections. Actually, that's when he shows up the most to help us and to cheer us on. Now, some of us, I think, have a mistaken idea about God. Maybe it came from growing up or whatever, but if you're running the race well, you finish first, you hit the tape, he's there to cheer you on, way to be. If you come in last, if you fall on your face, he's like, I don't know who that is. No, that's not God. That's not our God. Not at all. He's proud of us all the time. I mean, think about it this way. Nobody shames a baby for not knowing how to read. Nobody shames a 10-year-old for not knowing how to drive a car or balance a checkbook. You know what is appropriate for each stage of growth. Likewise, you don't need to be ashamed at whatever stage of spiritual growth you are in right now. And I think a lot of times that's where we just shoot ourselves, because we're thinking, man, I should be so much further along than I am right now. And given my age, I should be a lot more mature. I should not be facing these problems anymore. I should have them all licked. And so we start shaming ourselves because we think God is ashamed of us. We let him down. Can I tell you something? God is not ashamed of you. Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It is important that you realize that God is cheering you on at every phase of life, because the major reason you don't become the man or woman that you're supposed to be is shame. What happens is that instead of admitting that we don't have it all together, we spend all of our time trying to pretend that we have it all together, have other people think that we have it all together, and we tend to look at other people who are worse off than us and compare ourselves so that we feel like we have it all together. I hate to tell you this, but everybody in the world knows that we don't have it all together. This is not a secret. None of us do. So today, you need to know that God loves you, even though you might be struggling. God is still cheering you on. Now you're actually free. You can stop pretending. You're free to start working on your weaknesses along with the rest of us. Isn't that good? Wow, you got an encouraging word here today. Paul came to that place. Good grief, Paul is super saint. What did he say? I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. I'm still not all I should be, but I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, in calling us up to heaven. Paul is saying, yeah, I don't have it all together, but I'm still running the race. And those of you who are parents or grandparents, think about it this way. When the kids are young and you go to school and you're watching them run this race, they have some kind of special deal going on. When do you start cheering for your child? When they finish the race? No. When they start the race. And what do you do if they fall and they embarrass themselves and they fell on their face and they didn't finish? You just kind of go, I don't know whose kid that is. No, you're cheering all the more. You're saying, get up. I love you. You can do this. I know you can. Well, God is doing that with you right now. He's saying, let's go. You can do it. Keep going. You're doing great. You see, this can be a life-changing principle for some of us. It's how we see God. God is not out to condemn us. He loves us. And he's out to cheer us on. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. He's not there to push us down. He's there to pull us up, always. You've got to have that image in your mind. If you don't have that image, you got the wrong image. God's not there to slap us down. He's there to pick us up always, always, always. And if we ask him to forgive us, he said, how many times? 70 times 70, and that's not exactly 490. It's just making a point. Okay? If you have never realized that God is cheering you on, especially when you stumble, He is actually saying, I know you can do it. I believe in you. I created you. I sent my son to die for you. I want you in my family. You can do this. Never forget that God is cheering you on. And one more thing. In the marathon race to maturity, realize that what you don't finish, God will. Philippians 1:6. I am sure that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. I mean, think about that. What a day that's going to be. When you know Jesus is your personal Savior and your Lord, you know either you're going to go to heaven when you die or Jesus is going to come to you where you are. And that moment, when you see Jesus face to face, you're going to become like him. All your weaknesses, gone. All your fears and faults, gone. All your failures and frailties, gone. All your insecurities, gone. Wow, wouldn't that be great? You'll be transformed into perfection at that moment. Just think about that. I am not who I ought to be. You are not who you ought to be. We are not a fraction of what we could be. But God says, that's okay. I'm taking my time. I'm cheering you on at every stage. Just keep taking those steps of faith, even if they're baby steps. And I'm going to finish what you didn't finish. And you're going to be changed instantly into my likeness. Listen to this wonderful promise, 1 John 3. Dear friends, we are already God's children. We can't even imagine what we're going to be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when he comes, we'll be like him. For we will see him as he really is. So as we close this morning, let me ask you, how is your marathon to maturity going? How's the race going so far? Any struggles? Shin splints? Dehydration? Cramps? Exhaustion? Probably, right? Welcome to the human race. We've all been there. We've all struggled. In this race, you may have stumbled. We've all been there. In this race, you may have been sidelined. We've all been there. But your race is not over. If your heart is still beating, your race is not over. It's never too late to get up and to get back in the race. And in this wonderful family of faith called I Falls Covenant Church, you need to know that you are loved. You are loved. You can become what God meant you to become. You belong. But you will need others here to help you run. They will help you back up every time you stumble and fall. You will help them back up every time they stumble and fall. It's okay. It's part of the race. Just remember that God is committed to you finishing the race well. Let's all finish the race well together. Amen. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? I'm just going to pray this prayer, and I want you in your own heart just to pray it along with me. Just say, Dear God, for the first time today, I have realized that you are cheering me at every stage in the race. When I stumble, you don't condemn me. You cheer me on even more. Thank you for believing in me. I want to accept the third purpose of my life, my calling to become like Jesus. And I'm willing to take these steps. I want to strip off the stuff that doesn't matter in my life, the stuff that slows me down and holds me back, especially the sins that trip me up. I want to simplify my life and focus. Focus on the particular race that you have given to me. I am so grateful that you're patient with me. Help me not to be in a hurry. I want to be an oak tree, not a mushroom. I want to spend time with you so that I can become like you. I want to find a special place to spend a few minutes every day focusing on Jesus and talking to you. And Lord, when it gets hard, when I'm winded and I feel like giving up, help me to remember the reward. Help me to remember Jesus, all that you went through, and you never gave up. Make me strong. Give me the support. Keep me from falling, as you promised. Help me to find a team to run with me at this next stage of my life. I need others. I want to spur others on, and I want them to spur me on. Most of all, dear Jesus, I thank you that what I don't finish, you will. And one day, all those things that I dislike about myself are going to be removed from my life. Thank you that I don't have to stay the same. Thank you that you give me the power to change. Amen.